What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 71. And I got a special guest on the show today. I have Ms. Morgan. How you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm doing amazing. You guys can find me on Instagram at Ms.Morgan3. I am an author, a model, and a full-time mom.
Well, a full-time mom, that's a career itself, a job itself.
You know? Exactly, yeah. So it's a lot.
Also, before we get into the questions, I guess introduce it to yourself more to the people.
Like where I'm from?
Yeah, where you from?
Okay, well, I'm originally from Jamaica, the island of Jamaica. I came to America at the age of 12 with my family. Been living here ever since. I've started modeling full-time at the age of 18, but as the time go by, I kind of transformed over from modeling to being like writing books like 2 years ago. So just say right now I'm 27, like 24. That's when I published my first book, which is called Live to Love. In the modeling industry, it's kind of a lot of back and forth. It's not easy to be a model, especially like African-American model.
Yeah, down here in South Florida.
Yeah, in Florida, not at all. Like, I will hear it and I'm just like, okay, yeah, it's regular. But once you put yourself into it, you kind of see exactly what other models is talking about. Like, you don't get paid. You like you have a lot of people that trying to give get you to do promotional work where they're like, oh, it's just to promote yourself. But after you promote yourself for like 2-3 years, why are you still trying to promote, give me jobs to promote myself? I'm already there. I'm already being known. People see my face constantly. Now it's time to get that check.
Right.
But a lot of promoters or event, you know, people that want you to be in their event, they don't want to pay you. They just want you to show up on time, sell their ticket, and then at the end of the day walk the runway and then give you a picture as a reimbursement. But what are you gonna do with a picture?
Right.
If you have like 1,000 pictures in your phone, what are you gonna do with that? Nobody's not gonna buy that picture from you. So how can you get paid?
Right.
That is the question for African-American models in Miami or in the industry in general, because it's not even just in Miami, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, that you have, that you see like a model, not even just model, not even just African-American models. You also have like the Spanish models that have that curve, that have that thick shape, you know, that is trying. Lately, I've been seeing more diversity of thick girls, but now it's kind of confusing because, yeah, you see the thick girls, but even with thick girls, if you have that thick legs and stuff, some thick mod designers don't want you. They'll be like, okay, you're not that thick enough for me, or you're not that skinny enough for me. So what if you're in the middle? What's gonna happen to those models that is just that, like an average size model? What is gonna happen to them? You're gonna have to either stay in the urban limelight, or how can you transform yourself into you know, the high fashion industry? So it's definitely confusing and hard as a model. So that is one of the reasons why I transform over to writing my books, because I see myself getting older and I don't want to keep doing free job and just getting promotional hype from it. I want to get money because I still have to pay my bills. I still have to live my life. You know, I still have to feed myself. So, and now that I have a son, I still have to, you know, that's a major, you know, increase there. So, you know, with the book so far, I've been doing well, very well. You know, I just have to promote more with that to kind of get, you know, myself out there as much.
That's what's up. So, like, before we get deep into, like, the whole modeling, like, career and, like, you as a publisher. So, tell us about, like, you know, the beginnings, like, what made you want to be become a model and then become, like, a writer?
Well, what caused me to be a model is back in Jamaica, when I was living in Jamaica, I used to love dancing. Dancing was my first love. I used to be like dancing at church. Everywhere I go, I dance. But moving to America kind of gave me a different perspective of it, because I'm used to the island dancing. American, you know, there's not really, at that point, there wasn't a lot of like island dances that I'm used to. So I kind of stopped doing that. When I was 12, my dad had heard a commercial on the radio about talent, like kids' talent.
Yeah.
For Barbizon. And at that time, he's just like, hey, you're very outgoing. Your personality is very up there. Like, you know, this is perfect for you.
Right.
So my dad brought me on a casting, which I didn't make the casting, but at the time they was asking for, I think, 100 and, like, they was asking for a lot of money, basically, just for me to go to school. And then they're saying, okay, so you go to model school, you get your certificate, but that's not 100% sure that you are going to be signed by an agency. So my dad was just like, that don't make no sense. I'm not going to pay my money for you just to go to school for modeling and not do anything with it if you don't get into it. But anyways, long story short, at the age of 18, I kind of put that aside after 12, but at the age of 18, I started getting myself, like, thinking about it, and I start watching America's Next Top Model, which kind of, you know, that's where I kind of practiced how to walk, my posture, stance, and everything. So from there, I started going into it more, meeting people that was in the industry, photographers, started working with photographers, doing TF photo shoot, you know, where they would take my pictures and I would promote them, you know, just like you give, I give, we give together.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how I kind of started building my brand as Leah at that time. You might check find me Leah Morgan and see like way old pictures of me. At that point, because I was so young and at that time I didn't really want, I used to hear people like, oh, use a alias name because a lot of people, if your job see you, they're gonna want, like, fire you or some stuff at that age. I was 18. I was just like, whatever. Like,
they're gonna judge you.
Yes.
With your side hustle and stuff like that.
So at that time, I kind of give myself a name, Leah Morgan, which was funny as heck. But as I got older, I start confusing myself because when I go out, people will be like, oh, Leah, and I'm just like, Moya. They're like, wait, Moya, okay. So I just kind of cut off Leah, just like, you know what, it's whatever, and just went back to who I am as Moya Morgan. And then, you know, I continue doing that. But, you know, as you get older, you kind of see more, you kind of understand what's going on. Because in the beginning, I was okay with doing free shows. Like, I'll just jump on, you want me to come today, you want me to come tomorrow? Heck yeah, I'll be there. I'm getting pictures for the shoot. Yep, I'm going to look cute on the runway. Dope. But as you get older, you start thinking like, okay, so now I have car payment to pay. I have my phone bills. I have, like, rent. What's going on? No paycheck. Okay, and that kind of slowed me down, actually. So I wasn't so quick to jump to a designer asking me, oh, can you walk for my show? What am I getting from it? Nothing. No. If I know you personally and I know, like, you know, there is a connection there, we're cool like that, then I'll be like, okay, I'll walk for you, you know, because I've known you and we've done that 100% time and I know that you have my back, either with gas or whatever, you know. But then I started looking into it. I got in, like, at the point, at the time where I transformed over from modeling to writing was through a breakup in 2013, 2014. You know, I was going through a little breakup, I guess, like, you know, when girls, your first love, oh my God, I can't get over him. Oh my God, I have so much going on. So, you know, I just started writing down little poems in the relationship, good and bad, you know, during the relationship. So at that point, I was in a pageant. And I met a guy, and he was an author as well at an event that I went to for the pageant. And I asked him, like, I'm like, you know what, I have a few poems, and I was trying to see if I can put it into a book. I don't know how to go about it. And it was kind of like godsend, because he was so open to me to explain, like, oh, I'm a self-publisher. Just go on this website. It's easy. You don't have to spend all these money. You can cut out the middleman of spending $1,000 for somebody to publish your book. You can do it yourself.
Right.
So I legit took his advice and went home that night and started looking into it. And, like, what, just say 4 months later, I started putting my poems that I've written down into a book. And the year, following year, I released my first book, which is Live to Love. It's just like a short poem. Yeah, a poetry book. It was very, like, rough draft. So every minute I would read and I'd see an error, I have to go back online and change and reprint the book. So, because it was, you know, you always have, like, that first project, you're going to have a lot of mistake where you learn from, and I did learn from it. Mm. So, like,
did you have someone that, like, I guess you went to the proofread, or you did it yourself?
No, I did everything myself. So that was the thing. Yes. I like to do stuff on my own, which I learned from. I have to get that secondhand look. So right. That's why every time somebody would read it, like, oh, Moya, oh, I got a mistake over time. I got to go back and change it. But, you know, I learned from that. You know, I learn, and I kind of grow and understand the next book or the next project I do, how to go about it. Which, like, 2 years later, I decided to release my second book, Mr. Moon and the Dancing Star, which was inspired by my niece and nephew. Because, you know, I love to interact with kids. I love interacting with kids. Anything to do with the kids and me, like, trying to groom them, understand them. Because I look at kids as the next generation.
Yes.
So how I portray myself or how they see me or see the world is how they're going to raise. Mm-hmm. So I always see them on the phone. One of my nieces, Samara, she loved reading. Because her dad always reads to her, so she loved reading. So it kind of inspired me, naturally, to kind of write something for her to look at that, like, oh, this is my auntie write this, you know.
Yeah.
I can read this for bedtime, and I can also have hands-on activity with my mom, with my sister, with her mom,
right,
you know, to do. So I did a quick bedtime story. And I decided to put in the back of the book, like, hands-on activity where the parents can do coloring or, you know, different kind of picture matching with the kids, which is kind of funny because after I released that book, I had my son. So I was able to read the bedtime story to him and also do the activity with him for myself. So it's kind of amazing. So.
And what about Runway Killer?
Oh, that spicy one. That took me a year and a half to write. I literally just finished it like a month ago. That one I'm taking my 100% my time with because I want to promote this book because it's my first actual novel storybook.
So it's like long.
Yeah.
Like, how many pages?
It's like 109 pages, but to me, it was long. It felt like a million pages because it's like the difference between a poetry book, a kid's book, and a novel.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry book is just like, to me, I do short poem. I don't do long poems. So it's just like short, sweet, quick, finish. Kid's book, I did that in like, 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Just write something simple, easy, like, you know, the kids can interact with. Done. A novel. You have to literally put the scenes in your head step by step because when the person is reading your book, you want them to follow where you're going with it.
Right.
It's not like short. So at times I would have like a blockage for like a month trying to kind of get myself into the mood to like, okay, so this is where I want to go with it. I don't want to confuse the readers, and that's what you never want to do is confuse your readers.
Right.
So it took me a long time to finish that book. And I've been in, like, I went with the book in so many different directions. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Until now, I kind of decided to just go in this straight way. I find the path that I need to go. But at the moment, I'm having it, an editor read it over, like a proofreader.
Oh, yeah,
so she's reading it. Yeah, because this one I really wanted
serious,
to.
Serious, like you want to read it.
Push that one.
Mm-hmm. So, like, with your books, are you independent or do you have it like on Barnes and Noble's?
It's on Amazon. It's on eBay. It's on Barnes and Noble, but most of the website.
Okay.
It's on the website, so you can go on the website and purchase it. And I also sell it on my personal website, which is MoyaLMorgan.com. So you can just purchase it there as well. Okay. And now I have information about myself on my website as well. Yes.
Right. So how does it feel like to be like an author?
It feels amazing. At first, I never used to consider myself as an author because I'm just like, I feel like I need to do more to have that title. But my friend is just like, you need to take that and run with it because if that's what you want, you have to stand with that. So I kind of grab it, you know, because sometimes I'm self-confident. I'm just like, oh, wait, let me think about it. But you have to accept it and go with it for what you want, you know, make that statement. So it's actually, I like it. I really, not even like it, I love it. Because it's a fact of time, and I can do it on my time.
Right.
You know, I can do it, and I can write about however I'm feeling. The craziness that be in my mind, I can just write it out and put it into a book, and I know people going to love it.
Right.
Because I have so much more, like, stories that I want to put together. It's just going to take time, but it's definitely, I'm excited about the stuff that I'm getting ready to put together.
And would you ever like want to like become like a publisher, meaning like as far as let's say like for me, because I always wanted to like write a book. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what, I don't know if it's either on my life or just, you know, anything like
something to have.
Like, would you ever like, you know, work with people and help them?
Of course. I'm a person where you, like, I tell people, you don't be afraid to ask me for anything. I'll tell you step to step. I'm not gonna hold anything back, you know. Just ask me and I'll be happy to let you know. I'll let you know the website to go on, I'll let you know how to do it. But the thing that people don't understand is, while I'm helping you out, I have my stuff going on too. So people will be like, okay, why are you not calling back? Why, what's up? Because I understand, I will give you the information and I'll help you, but just give me time. If I don't respond back to you directly, just give me a little moment, because that means I'm either working with my own project or my son or stuff going on in my personal life. So, but I'm definitely down to help anybody. I never be the one to hold back any information. Right. Because if I've been through it, I want you to go through it as well and help you how to jump from a pothole, you know, a mistake that I've made. I can help you not to make that mistake, to jump over it, to kind of benefit yourself in modeling or anything. Because even now, I have girls reaching out to me on Instagram asking me how they want to be a model. How can they be a model? But the thing, too, is you have to want it bad.
Right.
Because I'm not going to waste my time. I have to see that energy in you where I'm going to be like, okay, I can give you the information that you're going to see, you're going to prosper with it. Not just asking for the information. I give you the information and then it's just like, okay, whatever. But, okay, you know, it is.
So, and so getting back with the modeling industry, we was talking about, like, how it's hard for, like, you know, African-American women to
pursue it
and be exposed. Why do you really think that, like,
it's like it's all about society? Like, if you watch a commercial, any form of commercial, you can watch like a Target or a Macy's commercial, all you see is like these slender Caucasian model. There's always a specific type that they look for,
right?
So in the industry now, if you're a little too curvy, they feel like they made their, this is like a designer. Well, it is a designer. They made their clothes to a specific size. They don't make it too big. They make it to like a petite size. So if you cannot fit that petite size, they're not going to remake the clothes to fit you because you're more curvy.
Right.
They'd rather just have a girl who is petite so that they can just make the design straightforward, throw it on her, photo shoot her and go with it.
Right.
Instead of, oh snap, I have to readjust this, I gotta do this. They don't want that work.
Right.
So, and the thing too is probably, I don't know, it's like there's so much into it. It goes so much deeper than that, you know, that I can't even go on right now. But it's just, it's kind of crazy.
Would you ever like, are you with an agency right now?
No, I'm not.
Would you ever like want to work for an agency or even just start your own agency?
I was working for an agency in the past, but then at the same time, even with the agency, it's all about, you know, it's the moment's all about fame, favorites, and money. That three thing. You know, if you're not making, if the agency send your picture out to a cast a few times and they see that you're not getting called back, you're going to be the last on their list.
Right.
If they send you out to different casting and they see you getting like you're making them money, they're going to call you all the time.
So it's like the music industry where you have the top three or four artists in the record label, then you got the other four or five or six that's just
there,
you know, just there, you know, shelves, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's,
they come for you for the little baby stuff, like stuff that nobody want to handle. They'll just like, oh yeah, you go do that, and you're going to be happy because guess what? You don't get no job like that. So at one point, I was doing music videos, a lot of music videos, because they want curvy African-American girl more in music videos like that. For a high fashion, they're like, hold on for the next show, we'll put you in something else. But for a music video to shake your butt, oh yeah, go on, go ahead, do that.
And that's, you know, when I was managing at the time, I was telling the women that I was
working with.
I was telling them pretty much like I don't want y'all to be video vixens because
that's not
where the money's at.
Yeah, it's not. You're pretty face walking around naked just for $100 or $200. Like, what's that?
Yeah, like you would want to aim to try to be, you know, break the barriers. Mm-hmm. You know, go to these fashion shows in New York and L.A.
Yeah.
Even though Miami's still developing, they still have their own, you know, fashion
that's going
week.
On. Yeah, the fashion week, Miami Fashion Week, and now they have Fort Lauderdale Fashion Week going on. So,
have you been to those events before?
Yeah, I've actually cast for Fort Lauderdale Fashion Week. I didn't get it because I guess I was curvy.
Right.
I was slim, but I was curvy at that time. But I was just like, whatever, okay. But it's funny. It's too, like, it's, this industry is so funny to me because I've been in it and out of it, and I'm looking, and sometimes I think about it, like, what the heck is going on?
No, you could cuss. This podcast is, you could cuss if you want.
No. I say shenanigans. I say different crazy words. You like, what?
Yeah.
No, but okay. So say, for instance, just give you a quick example. I did a casting for the Fort Lauderdale Fashion Week. In my head, I'm like, okay, Fort Lauderdale Fashion Week, you're going to have more urban girls. You know, more of my skin tone people there because it's Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, people got to realize, too, Miami... It's black communities there, but they go to the South Beach and stuff like that, where it's more like the whites and
Caucasian, Caucasian, Hispanic,
well,
mixed color, light skin.
I like the Hispanics that's trying to be, you know, the white, you know what I'm saying?
Black, that red, type.
You know what I'm saying? But,
So when I hear Fort Lauderdale, when somebody hear Fort Lauderdale, you hear something of culture, color, differentness, unity, you know, not... Spanish with fake butts, fake lip, fake. When I saw that fashion show, I was looking like, wait, what the shenanigan is going on? Number one, yeah, you have the model, you have the size, you have the shape, but what's up with the walk?
Right.
And it's coming to that point where they don't care about how you're walking in the clothes. Mm-hmm. It's how you look in the clothes. Mm-hmm. So you could be walking like your foot is about to break down the runway, but oh my God, she fits so perfectly in my outfit. Forget the walking, just stroll down the damn runway. As long as you show my outfit, I don't care how you walk. So it comes to that point, because I've literally sit down at fashion shows and I'm rolling at these girls and I'm like, this is what you pick. You have like a talented African-American model that can kill the heck off the runway with your design on, but you rather have something slender looking like stick walking down the runway like a crab, be like, oh my gosh, you look so nice in my outfit. It made no sense.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you know, I always want to, like, what I'm trying to say, like, for us, like, black folks, like, you know, especially, like, you know, the modeling industry, the music, or sports, you see it all the time, where we trying to break barriers, but I feel like some of us are either content with it, some of us are scared. And some of us are very, they want to break the barriers, but they need the help. But some people,
yeah, they need that push. Nobody want to push them.
Yeah, because they scared, you know. So that's why I was asking you
and
earlier.
And also, like, you know, dog eat dog. Well, you know, a lot of people, they're there. They're in the industry. They have everything. They're set. Mm-hmm. But they're scared for another African-American to come in and take the spotlight, which to me is stupid. Nobody can take no spotlight. Because if you're there, you're there.
Right.
All you need is somebody else beside you. Mm-hmm. You know, you help one man, you never know what that person can help you with later on. It's like in a woman. You know, a woman feel like, okay, if this other woman come into the spotlight, she's going to take over my shine. Mm-hmm. But this woman that's coming in might not have that, you know, physique of as you. Mm-hmm. You have the same skin tone, but there's something else they're missing. Or, you know, she has something that you could help out with. Mm-hmm. Or she can help, you know, use each other as, you know, helping hand.
Yeah, helping hands, yeah.
Yeah. So, but people don't see it as that. It's like selfishness. It's a lot of selfishness about it. It's just like, no, I want to be here. I'm here right now. I'm staying here. I don't need to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, since you have, like, before I ask one other question, since you have like a whole bunch of like up and coming models hitting you up, would you ever just want to just be like, man, let me just start my own agency, you know?
I wanted to start a kids agency because there's not a lot of kids agencies. Right. And at one point, I was thinking about doing the agency thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, it's going to be a lot of work because you already have so many competitions out there, number one. Number two, it's also like an agency is a big job because I've worked as an agent for like few months, I thought it was gonna be like, oh, it's easy, just get the models. No, it's crazy. It's a lot. So it's a lot of, it's so much drama in it as well.
So you still like, you still an agent now, or you just?
No. I canceled that. No, I'm just like, peace.
How was that like being an agent?
It was amazing. It was amazing to the fact where I can have the models. You know, I'm on set with the models and stuff, but then the not so good part about it is a director would say, okay, I need 20 models.
Mm-hmm.
You get like 25, but on the day of the show, you're calling these models because they're not getting paid the amount of money. A lot of them not going to waste their time to drive from West Palm Beach to Miami,
right,
just for a $70 bill or a $100 bill. They want the money.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, they start canceling. After the director already picked the models that they see in the music video, a lot of girls start dropping out. So now you have to start running around, going online, trying to find models to fit what the director are looking for. And sometimes the new girls that you're picking on the day off, they don't want. So you're losing money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's stressful. It is stressful because, you know, people flake. People will say, oh yeah, I'm gonna be there 100%. I'm there. But when they come an hour before the event, they're canceling on you. Oh my god, something happened. My dog died. I gotta go.
Because they like, damn, like,
70. They think about it. They're like, man, this ain't even worth it. I could just be my bed, or I can just go to work. I remember a model telling me, you know what, I'd rather just go to work for a $90 check than to come to a music video for the whole day for a $75 check.
Right.
No, I cannot complain with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say that. It's my, like, at the end of the day, I'm getting paid from what, like, them showing up, but at the same time, I understand where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot of chasing in that industry as an agent. You have to chase a lot of people.
So what advice did you give, or would you give up and coming, like, female model in this industry, especially, you know,
just be serious about it. Just be serious about it. And like, now that the barrier is basically starting to break, you just have to be yourself.
Right.
Don't try to be nobody else. Don't try to be like, okay, let me lose the weight, let me do my hair this way. You go, like, say for instance, you have to also sit down and decide what avenue you want.
Mm-hmm.
The first step is the avenue you want. If you want to be a video model, if you want to be a high fashion runway, an urban model, there's different paths that you can take. And you look into it. If you want to get signed by an agency, you have to go through that agency list. Because number one, I've been to open call for agencies to see if I can get signed up with an agency. And a lot of them will tell you, okay, I already have your look.
Right.
At first, I was just like, what do you mean you already have my look? Okay, you have another black girl, but she don't look like me. But they already have a look that look like you in a way. So you have to kind of go through the list of girls that they have online or on their website, wherever they have their showing off the models that they currently have, and kind of put yourself in a place where, how can I be different from what they have? So when I go, they're not telling me, oh, I already have your look.
Right.
Can I cut my hair? Can I change it up, look different, look a little bit more exotic? Agency love exotic models, especially like if you're, you know, African-American, they want you to be exotic, like different in a way where lately a lot of African-American girls want to cut their hair, wear their hair natural, you know, do different kind of stuff to have that exotic look, so they don't hear that, oh, I already have your look.
Right.
From agencies anymore. So you just have to be consistent. That's one thing too, because 100 no might lead to one yes.
Right.
That's gonna take you a long way. So you just have to keep going.
And it's all about networking too as well.
Of course, you have to network. That's one thing. Like, that's why a lot of people will be home like, oh, I'm not getting hit up on my Instagram. No. You have to find, like, networking events in Miami, wherever, West Palm Beach. Some of them now we're bringing into a Broward, you find those events, you go out, you make your business card, your portfolio, you go out and give that out. I walk with my little business card with my information on it. You have my name, my where you can find me, basic information. You give it out to somebody, that's easy. You don't even have to stay a full conversation. It's like, hi, how are you? Here's my business card. You know, if anything, you need a model or so forth, and keep it going. Because a lot of girls are shy. And I speak to people, they're like, oh, I'm so shy. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to, you know, bring my, like, introduce myself. Like, you know, I don't know what to do. Just make a business card. Hi, how are you? Here's my business card. you know, if you need a model, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'm open, I'm available, so forth. Keep it going.
Right.
You know, so that's definitely a way to go about it.
And you also is a registered pharmacist therapist?
Pharmacist technician.
Technician, yeah. My bad. Google be setting me up for failure when I be trying to do research on people, but
it's okay.
What's the duties for that? Like for your, that career?
I just do diabetes, like filling prescription for patient, regular mm-hmm. prescription. I do not work in a Walmart. I work in mm-hmm. a mail order. Well,
you
not
work
mail
at a hospital, right?
Retail.
Retail?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Retail pharmacy. It's like a Walgreens, Walmart, but it's more of a mom-and-pop pharmacy.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just basic filling prescription. We have customers come in, ask information, or want to sign up with the, like, to get their medication.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with the most behind-the-scenes where filling prescription and doing the refills. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What made you want to get into that?
My mom. My mom, when I was doing the modeling, she's just like, okay, you want to be a model, you're not getting paid at that time. She's just like, you need to have a blanket to fall back on if the modeling didn't work, which she was right.
Uh-huh.
You always want to have a blanket, something to fall back on, something that is stable.
Right.
You know, something that is there, set. So I went to school. I went to just a regular technical university to get that done. That did not take nothing out of me. I was still modeling at the same time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also tell models to try and get something stable. Not saying that you're not going to make it. Not saying that you're going to fail. But at the end of the day, just in case. You need that just in case situation where you have a plan B.
Right.
That is 100% set.
Right.
So even with this, like my pharmacy tech job, if I want to quit tomorrow and pursue my book line, I still have my license where if this don't work, I can go back and this will always be there.
Yeah, because you have the credentials.
Yeah, I have the credential and everything. Yeah. So I've been doing it for, just say, 4 years now. So I have that. Last year, I had stopped for like a few months to do the agency, to be an agent.
Right.
And
you had to be certified for that too as well?
It all depends, because I was working underneath somebody that was certified, so I didn't really have to be certified. But if you want to, you have to be certified if you want to be a full-time agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just like a credential. Remember, you're working with clients' information, personal information, and so forth. So you have to also have a license to say that you have that requirement, and you're working with money as well. So you have to have that license to say you are required to hold those information.
Right. So growing up, did you have any like influences, like whether they was authors, models that you really like studied?
No.
You just did it?
Yeah, I just did it. I'm never like a study person. Listen, and I'm still surprised that I'm reading. Like, I literally have a book collection, because in the beginning, you would never catch me reading. I would start reading and go to sleep. My mom used to beg me to go to sleep to read a book. I was on my bed sitting, reading like one page, and then you see me fall asleep.
Yeah.
And now I'm like literally reading back to back. Every time I go to Walmart, you would see I cannot leave Walmart without going to the book section.
Right.
It is crazy. Now I would be at the book section looking at the new books, the fiction books that they have, and I'd be buying at least one. So that's why I don't go to Walmart a lot, because every time I go, I have to buy one book. So, but yeah. That's good.
So, what's, like, in a nutshell, like, give me, like, top five moments, like, overall, whether it's modeling or Arthur, like, your favorite moments, like, top five moments.
For my modeling, one of my best moments is when I did a pageant. I would never do a pageant ever again, but I love that experience that I was able to get from it. You know, that is one. My author, I did a vendor, my first vendoring event in Lottingham Mall, and I had such an amazing experience that that made me kind of look into it. Like, that even kind of inspired me more to push harder to push my books. So that was amazing. Another event I did with an artist, I did a music video when I was modeling. That was a great experience. Sean Paul, like, get to meet Sean Paul.
You was in a video with Sean Paul?
Yeah, I did a video with Sean Paul. I did a video with Sean King. Well, I was on set of Sean Kingston music video. I met Trina for one of her music video way back. So that's the thing too. You're able to meet artists, yes. And
so you just saying that like it's whatever I did that.
No, well, the thing with that is, yeah. When you want to be in the industry, you have to kind of control yourself.
Right.
You have to know how to control yourself because you can't be on set and going crazy. I think I would might lose myself if I was on a Chris Brown music video. I don't think I would be able. They'd be like, take this girl off the stage. Get off my set.
Yeah.
I love Chris Brown.
Yeah, like I had other media personalities on the show, and like we talked about that as well, like how. You know,
to control yourself
Yeah. Especially around people that you really paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had Alisa Reyes, she was one of the original co-hosts for All That back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was just like
going crazy.
I had to keep calm.
Mm-hmm.
But before and afterwards, I was telling her like, you know, you really like
inspiring.
Yeah. Like you know, I'm a 90s baby, you know, so I grew up. You know what I'm saying?
I think one that kind of caught me too was Trey Songz, because I was at an event,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to be in a VIP section with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
Did he talk to you?
No, I just stare at him. That too, that was a good, like, that's why I love modeling too.
Mm-hmm.
Not just as a model, because even with my friends, my promoter friend that I knew, when I used to go out, they used to always hook me and my girls up in the VIP section. So even with that, I was able to meet a lot of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always, like, I know to just be calm. It's like, they're a regular person.
Right.
They're nobody different. Yeah, they're on TV, but, and even when I was younger, I always grew up like that. My mom kind of always tell me they're a regular person. They use the bathroom like you. They, you know, go through shit like you.
Right.
All that is different is that they're on TV.
Right.
And they're making money that you're basically about making.
Mm.
But, and they have talent. They have their talents, you know, but they're a regular person. You can, like, if you see Beyonce right now, in myself, I was like, oh my God, wow, that's Beyonce.
Beyonce, she's like, going to Target and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. She's a regular person. You know, it's kind of amazing to see them, like, in your face, not on TV. You're like, whoa, blown away, but not, like, screaming, crying. You regular to me. I love your talent. I'm not discriminating your talent, but, yeah, you regular, bro.
And for the last question, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
5 to 10 years, I see myself published with my 10th book.
10th book? So how many books are you trying to drop?
A lot.
How many are you trying to drop this year alone?
Two? My novel and probably a poetry or a kid's book again.
Okay.
Yeah. Living my best life on someone island with my son, sipping on some water. Not even margarita, sipping on some water. And just enjoying life. You just have to enjoy life, because you never know when that time gonna come for you, so...
That's what's up, man. Yeah. Like I tell everybody, don't forget about me. Don't forget about your
boy. Why would I forget about you? All you have to do is tag me and be like, yo, where you at? And I'm like, all right, repost, check him. Don't forget, he put me on. No. I'm never stuck up. I'm never selfish. I'm so outgoing. I'm such a free spirit person. If I see you, the thing is, face, I will never forget your face. A name, I will. Trust me, I'll forget names. It's like, wait, what? I'm just saying. Yeah, don't ask me for names. It's like, oh, do you remember Rick? Who? What? Nah, let me see the face. Every time a friend asks me a name, I'm like, just send me the picture and I'll let you know. I don't know. But yeah.
You know. This was thank you for coming on the show again.
Anytime. Just let me know, hit me up if you need like any kind of specific topic you're going over and you want me to come out. Just let me know if I'm available or should be available. I try to make time for anybody and everybody,
right?
And that's my issue. I don't know how to tell people no,
right? And if I need help, you know, writing the book and stuff like that,
listen, just reach out to me, ask me, Moya, what to do, what's the website. I'm gonna throw everything to you, and if you need any kind of hints or what to do, I'll let you know straight up.
Because what I learned because I'm going for my doctoral.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned is, let's say you want to be like a professor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody don't beat me up, but like I heard someone told me like you had to have like a certain amount of publications.
Really?
Yeah, like you have to either have like write like different articles or like have like books
really?
That's published. Wow. Like it's like. I'm thinking like just being a professor, you
just
can
go, yeah.
You got experience. So I got the degrees, but it's more than that, you know.
Yeah.
So
really,
yeah, like it's I heard it from somebody before. They were telling me that. So I'll just
know. It's a lot of stuff to go through. Okay.
Yeah, but thank you for coming on the show again.
Anytime. Just hit me up if you need me. I'm here.
This has been your boy, DJ Anonymous, with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 71 with Miss Morgan. And we out.
Yep.